Sun on the Strip, and I'm Brock Radke, entertainment writer at the Las Vegas Sun, here to get you caught up on all the news and fun this week from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. Christina Aguilera is the newest addition to the Strip's roster of resident headliners. She opened the experience at Zappos Theater at Planet Hollywood Friday night. I was at the show Saturday night, returned to Planet Hollywood Sunday to meet with her and talk all about the show. Hopefully you read my Monday feature at LasVegasSun.com, but either way, you're in luck because I'm going to share most of that interview with you on today's podcast. But before that, we're going to talk about nightclubs a bit because there are some pretty significant changes happening right now in the casino nightlife landscape. Las Vegas Weekly staff writer Leslie Ventura is here to discuss. How are you today? Besides having a weird allergy voice, same as me.
I'm doing well, but yes, your listeners will be able to tell I'm a bit congested. Hopefully everyone else feels all right today.
This is going
to
be the most popular edition of this podcast. Yeah, just two froggy people talking about nightclubs. You and I got pretty deep into the Vegas club scene when we were working on a special publication here called Industry Weekly, which was fun.
It was near and dear to my heart.
Yes, pretty exciting stuff. We still cover these things, but we both do so much other stuff, I think. It's not quite as intense as it used to be, probably.
Yeah, I feel like we're both all over the place.
But I'm sure you would agree that there's just a lot to learn about the club scene and how unique it is in Las Vegas and how fast-moving it can be. And when things change around in the club scene the way they are right now, or a little bit right now, I feel like it's really easy for people to make assumptions about, oh, that venue must not have been doing very well, or I guess nobody went to that club, when it's never that simple. There's always so many other factors at play because of the casino part in all of this, and operators and casino operators working together to, like, create new experiences on the Strip within the resort. So anyway, Intrigue at Wynn has closed. It closed on June 1st. The plan for that venue now is to use it as a private event space, which was already happening here and there. Intrigue opened in 2016 after it was renovated from its previous version, Tryst, which had about a 10-year run at Wynn. And originally was created out of a collaboration between Wynn and Victor Dre. And that collaboration, of course, led to the creation of XS at Encore, which remains one of the most successful clubs in the country. Intrigue had more of like an exclusive kind of boutique-y feel to it. And definitely luxurious enough to be a good fit at Wynn. But I think that people got used to the bigger and bigger experiences that are happening at XS and at Encore Beach Club just across the way. So maybe the Intrigue experience kind of got lost in the shuffle a little bit.
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, I think people just really want things that are interactive right now. I mean, so many things on the Strip are just really unique these days. And you mentioned something about like all of these moving parts, and I just feel like Vegas is really so much about driving innovation right now. And so Intrigue maybe wasn't that innovative. I mean, it was really short-lived. And even something like a convention space or pop-up space that they're going to kind of transform it into, that allows, you know, Wynn to do so much more, to really have those, like, interactive, unique pop-ups or, you know, who knows. So.
Yeah. It's a really beautiful club, for sure. Everybody would agree on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
The atmosphere is incredible. But yeah, when it first reopened as Intrigue, they did experiment very briefly with some different kind of live entertainment and just some different elements of entertainment there, apart from the standard of having a DJ play music. And then they kind of ended going back into what they felt their strong suit was. So, yeah, maybe it didn't reach far enough from, maybe it didn't distinguish itself enough. But that's not to say that it was not a popular place. It definitely was. The Wynn Nightlife used their big name DJ roster and
put
people in that
huge
room too. Yeah. The same, a lot of the same people that were in XS, like Diplo and other people, would play at Intrigue too, and that would create this different
intimacy,
kind of experience.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
But yeah, I think ultimately they just don't need to have a nightclub in that space. They're doing
right.
so well with XS and Encore Beach Club. The stuff that they're doing this year with kind of different artists from that Ibiza scene
mm-hmm.
and these themed parties just keep getting bigger and bigger. Of course, they have Drake playing several shows at XS this year, which is off the charts. So, you know, I think this is less about, you know, oh no, what's happening with nightclubs, and more about what's happening at Wynn.
Mm-hmm.
They're still in a big transition state there since Steve Wynn departed.
Right.
They're making a lot of changes in a lot of different ways, and I think this falls into that category too.
Yeah, and how to bring in more people, you know, if that kind of service or entertainment is already provided and top-notch elsewhere, how else are they going to get in even more people? Like, do something different. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
And the announcements that they've made this year so far with a couple of different very hip restaurants on the way speak to that as well. So, Sayonara Intrigue. It was fun while it lasted. That place opened kind of on our nightclub watch when we were doing Industry Weekly.
Yeah.
So I have a little bit of an attachment to Intrigue.
Pour one out.
Yeah, exactly. Over at Bellagio, Hyde is going to close in less than a month now. Hyde feels like it's been there forever to me.
Yeah.
But it actually opened in 2011. It's been operated by SBE all this time. That's the same company that famously or infamously converted the Sahara into SLS.
Mm-hmm.
Hyde is it's an actual mix of a lounge and a nightclub. You know,
right.
you can go, I think it opens at like 5 o'clock, and you can just go hang out and have drinks, and then it converts into more of a party space later on at night. Of course, it has those great central views of the Bellagio fountains. Hyde closes July 6th, and a new concept is supposed to take its place this winter, although MGM Resorts has not announced what kind of concept that will be. It could be a club or a lounge, or it could be a restaurant, or it could be something entirely different we can't even dream up, because that's not what we do. So.
Right. I think that's, I mean, the most exciting thing is just what are they going to do with that space? It's such a prime location, like you said, being right on the Bellagio fountains.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know they had that really expensive package where you could, like, press a button, I think, and, like, detonate's the wrong word, but you could, like, launch the fountains. So, you know, what are they going to do with that? Does that go away? I'm sure. But, yeah, who
Maybe
knows?
We'll have an even more impressive VIP situation. Where
yeah.
Make up your own fountain show. Probably not. I wrote about Hyde a little bit in my column that's going to come out in this week's Las Vegas Weekly magazine. That space used to be the Fontana Lounge before it was Hyde, and live music was always a big part of that concept there. So who knows? It really could turn into anything. It's also worth mentioning that Bellagio already has an empty former club space, the Bank,
right,
which closed in 2018. So there's a lot of room to work with at Bellagio right now. In the nightlife realm, or however they want to kind of tweak things. I have a theory that Bellagio is going to be next on MGM's list, the next property on MGM's list for, like, a bigger renovation.
Mm.
Probably not like Park MGM, you know. It wouldn't make sense to rebrand the Bellagio because
right.
it's such a beloved
I love Bellagio, and it's so beautiful inside.
Yeah.
Like, why would you, you know. But I definitely could see a mini overhaul, you know, just
right.
kind of
spruce it up.
Yeah.
Make it a little bit more modern. That it does, it is still, I think people still think of it as a luxury property, and it's definitely up there, but it's a little bit dated too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's so many parts of that resort that have not changed over the 20 years.
Yeah,
that it's
it feels
been there.
Very 90s,
mm-hmm.
you know, it has that whole look. So I could definitely see some modern things going in there.
And nightlife could be the way to do that, because especially because you know, MGM, I think they hit a home run with On the Record.
Yeah.
At Park MGM, which is really, you know, the Houston brothers that brought that concept to Vegas deserve a lot of credit for that, but it really is a collaboration between those guys and MGM, and maybe they'll dream up another idea with those guys to go in the Bellagio, or maybe they'll bring somebody else in, or it's going to be interesting to see. It's fun to me. I get excited when there's like empty stuff at these places.
It's so hard because just like trends are so ever changing now. Just like, you know, what was popular a year ago is not popular anymore. And with Instagram and the internet, like, it's just the turnover is crazy. So being able to think now as like a club designer, or just, you know, as this, you know, entity, being forward thinking and trying to put something in there that's going to have like lasting power, that's a really tall order. So yeah. It will be very exciting to see what happens with both of those properties.
Yeah. And I think, again, going back to our own education in the nightlife world, I think that nightclubs get kind of get dissed online and stuff like that a little bit more than they deserve, like the nightclub industry overall. Yeah, of course it's expensive and, you know, it's not for everybody, but it's an important part of the Vegas entertainment scene overall. And when a place closes, people are real quick to be like, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course that place closed. This is it. This is the end of nightclubs. We have too many nightclubs.
Right.
I see a lot of that stuff on my feeds. And, I don't think that we're going to see the end of nightclubs anytime soon. I think things are going to keep changing as they always have. And I'm excited to see what's going to happen next.
Yeah, totally.
Another little note. You may have missed it, but another unused club space on the Strip has been converted into something else, something pretty swanky, actually. It's at SLS, and it's called Casbar, of course. It's the new casino bar and lounge that has taken over the space formerly occupied by Foxtail. So when SLS opened in 2014, Foxtail was like an indoor-outdoor club overlooking the pool. The Foxtail pool is still a thing that's there. It's more of a resort pool than a club. But the inside portion of that club is gone, and Casbar is the new 24-hour, pretty fancy venue in its place. It's got its own legit craft cocktail program, and that name is a callback to the property's history. There used to be a Casbar lounge at the Sahara, and I think that's cool, and I also think that it kind of locks down the buzz and the rumors that SLS is going to change its name to something with Sahara in it. Everybody is pretty sure that that's going to happen. The Grand Sahara is the maybe the safe bet.
I love it. I love that name. I am in full support.
You should go check it out. It's a pretty nice little bar. It's a good meeting space. You know, they've been, obviously they're still in the middle of their renovation. I think it's a $100 million renovation at SLS right now. And they tore out that kind of, there was that central casino bar that had the crazy,
the installation
overhead, art installation on the ceiling. They took that out, and you got to have a casino bar
mm-hmm.
to hang out at and to meet your people at.
Yeah,
so.
And the more vintage, the better.
It's pretty cool. This place is pretty cool. There's like a room off to the right end of it, just like a little kind of fireplace room back there that looks like it would be a good place to hide. So I'm going to go and try some drinks at the Casbar very soon. Thanks, Leslie, for joining me today.
Absolutely.
So definitely go to the Las Vegas Sun site and read my piece this week about Christina Aguilera's show at Zappos Theater. It was very cool to interview her on Sunday, just a few hours after seeing the show for the first time. And she surprised me a little bit. You know, when it's a superstar with such a big name, you don't think these artists are going to be scared to take the stage in Las Vegas. She was very upfront about how Vegas can be quite intimidating and how creating the show and then delivering it this past weekend was a pretty nerve-wracking experience. But she pulled it off with style. And she also talked about finding some inspiration for the show from film scores and soundtracks, which I thought was interesting. And now having seen her show, that makes a lot of sense. So here you go. Enjoy listening to my conversation with Christina Aguilera. This was on June 2nd at Planet Hollywood.
Now, I didn't get to see, unfortunately, I missed you when you were touring last year and you came through Vegas and played at Caesars.
Yeah.
But I read a lot about that show, and I know that that message of positivity and inclusion was part of that, too. Do you feel like this is even more so, that you've expanded upon that a lot?
I do. I really do, yeah, because given the fact that we don't have to pack everything up, travel it, load it up, you know, and given that we kind of gauge the ins and outs of being in one solid place and theater, you know, I wanted to give audiences something they haven't seen in this venue before. And so we're using the ceiling in a way that hasn't been used, the lasers across. There's something to look up top for. There's something to look at the stage for. There's, you know, the fact that I did a curve screen, you know, I'm inspired greatly by Cirque shows, you know, the fact that they tell a story, the fact that you, you know, they give messages as well. And there's so many different talents and genres across the board from different parts of the world and different talents to share under one roof. And that's sort of what I wanted to reflect here. It's the discovery of, you know, you see the astronaut on stage, it's the discovery of this world where you're allowed to be whoever you are in this moment in time.
What part of putting this whole thing together was the most fun for you, the most, like, stress-free? Because there's a lot that goes into this, a lot to worry about.
Gosh,
what was the most fun and least stressful moment thing?
You know, I think what I had to let go of in coming into the show, because, you know, for the songs where I'm not with the dancers and it's not something to think about timing or certain staging or choreography, then you're like, oh my God, like, let me preserve my voice and make sure that, you know, I have my water here, that, you know, because I'm not, you know, we're doing it live. We're putting on a show in so many levels. And if I'm not singing, it's like, you know, I'm aggressive with, you know, the shouting and hyping the audience. So, you know, I go hard. But I think certain elements that I love are being able, you know, I think a part of the show where I just get to let down my guard and have fun and be with the dancers and play around is the section where I come out and the feathers and the light up hearts and all the right parts, and you know, be able to just have a fun time. I think part of it was letting down the idea that everything had to be so perfect, because at the end of the day, the message is that we're all human, and we all make mistakes. Even if I fell one night, I'd be like, oh, well, there it is. She's not superhuman, but none of us are, and it's okay to just have a laugh about it and accept each other and accept ourselves for the fact that we're not perfect. I think that's really hard too, is our own critical voices inside of us. So, you know, that's part of it. I was like, you know, whatever happens, it's going to be okay, you know? And, you know, it's just all about inspiring that message. So even my fails, hopefully will be received as, well, positives, because it's real. And that's my intent. Mm-hmm.
I loved how you moved through so many different, I guess, styles of songs, styles of performance, different kinds of songs. And because I think that obviously you've done that a lot throughout your career, different genres of music.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that maybe you haven't been recognized for branching out as much as you
have. Yeah, thank you for saying that. I do appreciate that. Because, yeah, I'm very musically inspired by so many people. Even for the opening of the show, I reached out to... I'm very inspired by scores to movies, from Danny Elfman to... On my Liberation album, I took the score writer from Moonlight, Nick Pertell, and I had him create that opening score for Liberation album intro. For this, I was inspired by a piece of music I heard from the Captain Marvel soundtrack, and I took Pinar Toprak, who was the score writer for that movie, and I sat down with her. I explained the idea of the astronaut stepping into this world and how I wanted to take people on this ride where it's almost Disney inspired, where, you know, you're taken on this ride that explodes, and she wrote the score for this show, and I'm just so grateful that she did, because she took it to that cinematic level.
Is there anything, you're going to be spending a lot more time in Vegas, obviously. Is there any aspect of Las Vegas that you're looking forward to kind of exploring? And
I am. On my off days, I kind of want to just do the fun stuff. I've heard, like, Topgolf or something is really fun. Like, I want to do the fun stuff. I want to experience stuff, too. And I want to experience it with my kids. There are a lot of fun things to do here in Vegas. And I'm ready to explore it all. You know, I want to do mini golf. I mean, I want to do just, like, the real shit and have fun. You know, I think that's the goal, too, is I think a lot of, you know, being a veteran now and decades in this business, even before, you know, quote unquote public fame, you know, working since I was 7, you know, one thing you lose sight of when you're considered, you know, that workhorse for your family or in front of the public eye, you know, and scrutiny, it's just hard to remember sometimes to have fun. So that's something that, you know, being older and wiser and having children and just, you know, being a big kid at heart is just remembering to take a moment and smell the roses and experience the joy of, you know, what we're doing here and what we're trying to accomplish and having fun while doing it.
Christina Aguilera, The Experience, is back at Zappos Theater June 5th, 7th, 8th, 13th, 15th, and 16th. Then she'll be back in Vegas in September. So this past weekend saw 3 female superstars in the big 3 residency rooms on the Strip, because the Coliseum had Celine Dion and Park Theater had Lady Gaga. As I noted in my Weekend Rewind column, Gaga played practically a whole extra show Sunday night, as she did her jazz and piano gig at Park Theater, then hit the Nomad and joined her bandleader Brian Newman on stage to sing 6 songs during his new late night residency. That surprise appearance is not the only way Gaga is switching it up on this new leg of shows in Vegas. The first ever House of Gaga experience opened May 30th and is open from noon to 8 p.m. daily and until midnight on Gaga show days, right next to Park Theater at Park MGM. Curated by her collaborator and fashion director Nicola Formichetti, House of Vegas features the most iconic fashion pieces from her personal vault, like that crazy meat dress from the 2010 MTV Video Music Awards and the iridescent Versace bodysuit she wore during her 2017 Super Bowl halftime show performance. Select items are going to be put up for auction, with 100% of the proceeds donated to the Born This Way Foundation, a nonprofit Gaga co-founded with her mother, Cynthia Germanotta, to support the mental wellness of young people. House of Gaga Las Vegas also features Enigma merchandise exclusively available at Park MGM. As reported on the Sun site and by Vegas Inc., the Madison Square Garden Company has chosen a general contractor for the MSG Sphere at the Venetian on the Strip, and it is AECOM, which also built T-Mobile Arena. The Sphere will sit on an 18-acre site on Sands Avenue between Manhattan Street and Koval Lane. Grading and excavation for this project is complete. Crews are currently finishing drilling nearly 600 deep foundation piles. And when it's done and open in the year 2021, the Sphere will be 360 feet tall, seat up to 17,500 guests, and feature more than 160,000 square feet of surface space. Basically the most awesome movie screen ever created. It's going to be the largest and highest resolution LED screen on the planet. Everybody, if you don't know about the Sphere, check into it. Look it up. It's going to be a game changer. It's insane. It's like a theater from another planet. And the first one is going to be right here in Las Vegas on the Strip in 2021. You won't have to wait that long to see Hans Klok, the world's fastest magician, a new production from the veteran illusionist at Excalibur, opening July 29th. Klok had a show at Planet Hollywood years ago, and he's been touring arenas around Europe for much of the last decade. So more magic on the Strip is a good thing. The new show is produced by Spy Entertainment, which already has Thunder from Down Under and the Australian Bee Gees show at the Excalibur. And also announced this week, Thunder from Down Under has signed a 10-year extension with MGM Resorts to continue the show at Excalibur. And that includes the expected in July completion of Thunderland, a $6 million renovation of the showroom at the Excalibur into a fully immersive experience. Thunder is one of the most successful shows on the Strip, arguably the most successful male review in Las Vegas, and this is a big, big deal. I'm going to write a lot more about this, so stay tuned to LasVegasSun.com. Specifically, check out my Thursday column, Curtain Up, which is all about shows on the Las Vegas Strip and around other parts of Vegas. I'm going to check in with the people at Spy Entertainment and talk about all this stuff very soon. Another big extension announced this week, The Magic of Jen Kramer at the Westgate is locked down at the Westgate Cabaret for another 2 years. Kramer is the only female magician currently headlining at a major property in Las Vegas, and she's sharing that room with comedian George Wallace and the topless review, Sexy. Congrats, Jen Kramer. What's taking over the Strip this week? The Licensing and International Expo is at the Mandalay Bay Convention Center through Thursday with 16,000 attendees. And the American Institute of Architects annual conference on architecture continues through Saturday at the Las Vegas Convention Center and Wynn Las Vegas with 21,000 attendees expected throughout the week. My one big show this week is, of course, without a doubt, Celine Dion's final shows at the Coliseum at Caesars Palace, June 5th, 7th, and 8th. Like I said last week, I'll be there for the finale Saturday night. It should be epic. You can find more weekend entertainment options this Friday and every Friday with my Best Bets column at LasVegasSun.com. That's it for this episode of The Sun on the Strip. Hope you had fun. Please check us out on Apple Podcasts. Give us a real quick rating and review. Tap some of those stars. It only takes a second, and it will help The Sun on the Strip get noticed. I truly appreciate it. You can also listen to past episodes on our site at LasVegasSun.com/podcasts. Thanks again to Leslie Ventura. Thank you so much for listening. Catch you next week.